Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. Producer extraordinaire, the real J. Mac is in the building. Ever often imitated, but never duplicated. I'm getting things wrong. I'm sleepy. I got to get it together. Thank you for tuning into the program. Thank you to all of you who are watching the show. Through the various ways you do so, you're watching the show and listening, I should say. You can watch on the live stream. You can do so on Facebook. You can do so on YouTube. You can find us at the corner with Abraham Hamilton III there. Like and subscribe there. You can watch at AFA Stream, which is a streaming service that you can open a free account right there where you can watch the show unimpeded at all times. One of the major reasons why the ministry invested resources into creating AFA Stream was to allow us to be prepared for not if but when the various outlets would continue to operate in their Gestapo tactics and try to crush free speech. And so I would encourage you to sign up there, not because you have to listen there and watch there exclusively, but your listening there and supporting our efforts there provide additional support and resources for when the Gestapo tactics take place. Thank you to the live radio listeners, the podcast listeners. You can get this program via podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google Play, whatever, all of the different outlets, Spotify. Somebody stopped me the other day. I didn't know you were on Spotify. You can find the Hamilton Corner on Spotify. Anywhere you can podcast, you can get this program. All right. Thank you for doing that very thing. So greatly appreciative to all of you for tuning into the program. And I'm going to begin this morning turning to scripture. And frankly, daily when we turn into scripture, it's not merely something I'm endeavoring to convey and share with you. It's something that I need as well. So I'm right there in the same boat. But at this very moment, many of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you're generating an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on the family. We will never as a society be able to out-politic or even out church deficiencies that are abundant and prevalent in the home. The first institution, the first human institution that God created was the family. The first command given to mankind was issued within the familial context. Simply put, family is a big deal to God. It is the first institution. We should respond accordingly. Now I'm going to turn us to Philippians chapter 4. But like I said, this is something that is not just for you, it's for me too. Because as we go through this program, we're going to go through some things that's, this program today in particular, it's going to probably upset some of you. And this is just the reality. And I'll preface it by saying this. I know we earlier this week, we talked about the letter that Mark Zuckerberg sent to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, in where he admitted, yeah, the Harris-Biden administration pressured Meta social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, pressured them concerning sharing truthful information, allowing the sharing of truthful information on the platform concerning COVID-19. He admitted that his companies succumbed to that pressure. He also admitted that his companies demoted the New York Times Hunter Biden laptop story specifically because the FBI warned them of disinformation that was coming from Russia, but specifically disinformation that came from Russia concerning Hunter Biden's laptop and his relationship with the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. That is information Mark Zuckerberg hadn't revealed prior to that letter. Even during his interview with Joe Rogan, he didn't share that the warning that came from the FBI specifically pertained to Burisma and the laptop. I don't think Hunter Biden realizes it. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg realizes it, but he just revealed, very likely, that the FBI, I would argue with the aid of the CIA, is guilty of violating the Wiretap Act. I'm going to explain all that later in the program. And it is because that is the case, this portion of scripture is instructive for me in this moment, and I pray it also will be encouraging to you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And the word of God says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My simple encouragement for you today is to remind you of the indispensable nature of thanksgiving. Rejoice always. It is instructive for us that the Apostle Paul is penning this. Many of his epistles he wrote and shared. Some of them he was in a prison, a Roman prison that ultimately led to his execution. But he's encouraging the Philippian believer to rejoice. One of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes from Jeremiah's lament in the Book of Lamentations after warning the southern kingdom of Judah as to how they had rebelled against God, and warning them to repent lest they face the judgment, the temporal judgment of God. Then when Nebuchadnezzar shows up, the Book of Lamentations records Jeremiah's lament in light of that judgment occurring. But in the course of witnessing that, Jeremiah was able to focus himself on God's goodness, even in the midst of the chaos that unfolded then, to say, great is thy faithfulness. We are in a precarious time in our nation's history, but I want to remind you and encourage you to remember the indispensable reality of thanksgiving. Don't allow the context around us, the culture around us, the moment that we're in, to encroach upon your heart and your mind so much so to where you are disabused of thankfulness to God, where you are deprived of having the wherewithal to behold the face of Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even in this moment. Thanksgiving is indispensable. When Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae, Colossians chapter 2, and he warned them against the delusion that if that delusion persisted unimpeded, it could metastasize into full-blown captivity. One of the ingredients that fortified the Colossian believer against the delusion to captivity phenomenon was thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We cannot afford to become a thankless people. We cannot afford to become a people to where our internal disposition is defined by our external environment. It's defined by what's happening around us. We cannot be a people that allow the pressures of life, the cares of this world, the imminence of an election to deprive us of thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, I'll never forget, and I share this story with my children often. Shortly before Shmovid, my wife and I were on a mission trip in India. We went to India. And we were able to visit one of the orphanages that AFA supports in India. Pastor Eleazar and his wife Prema, they lead a ministry there called Living Sacrifices Ministry. I encourage you to look them up and support their work. They're doing a great work I don't say this. Pastor Eleazar is like a modern-day Apostle Paul, and his heart for the people and how the Lord is moving through him to take to provide beauty from ashes. Because in India, because of the prevalence of Hinduism and their beliefs in reincarnation and things of that nature, combined with the legalization of prostitution, one phenomenon that is prevalent there is you have lots of orphaned children. But here's the thing. Because of their beliefs in Hinduism combined with the remnants of their caste system, primarily it's more the reincarnation beliefs. They believe if a child is an orphan now, it's because they had done something in a previous life that has earned them to be orphaned currently. So to avoid inviting bad karma upon themselves, they despise orphans in India. The government doesn't want that secret getting out. They don't want the world coming and trying to adopt all their orphans because they don't want the world to know exactly how many orphans there are in the country. The only people in the nation of India that will help orphans is, guess who? The Christians. The Lord convicted our brother, Pastor Eleazar, for the ones that the people in India are casting off. For he is to go into the highways and byways and gather them and to love them and nurture them. And he and his wife, they have a boys' home, hundreds of boys, and a girls' home, hundreds of girls. And the Lord convicted him to love them, to care for them, to provide for them, to educate them, but more importantly, to disciple them. And many of those orphans are being raised up in descent as missionaries all across the various languages in India, all across the villages of different portions of the country. It's amazing to see. Pastor Eleazar has these maps in his office showing where they have disciples dispersed all across, particularly the Jengareddy Gudam area in India. But the one thing that we were able to be there when they had their meal time, and you know what those children eat every day? Rice. And they often have bananas. A protein is a rarity. And you should see how when it's time to eat, and they eat rice every day, you should see how those little boys and those little girls light up and rejoice when those bowls of rice are circulating. The bathrooms, they don't have toilets. They have holes cut out in the ground with little grooves set for your feet for you to squat. Yet these children rejoice. It was convicting, man. It was convicting. Because of our abundance, we can't even imagine that. I told my children this story. I said, so how dare you come and say what you don't want that mommy has cooked? But in their condition, they're not aware that what they are living through is a circumstance, I'll just say it this way, is not the way that American children experience mealtimes. And the smiles on their faces, they have none of their biological parents around. It's Pastor Eleazar, his wife, our sister Prema, and the Living Sacrifices Ministry staff. That's their family. And they rejoice at the fact that they have love and care. And they have food. And on the rare occasion, maybe once a week, that they do get a protein, like a small piece of chicken or something, you should see how they respond. That story comes to my mind because they are in extremely, let me say it this way, difficult circumstances, especially when you consider it in comparison to the way that we live in here in the United States of America. But they rejoice when the bowls of rice come around. Brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult things are, and I know we face difficulty. I know many of this audience at various points have and are facing difficulty. But there is always a way and an opportunity for us to express gratitude and thankfulness and to have thanksgiving because we can see the face and the hand of God in the middle of our circumstances. Refuse to allow circumstances to deprive you of thanksgiving. And I will refuse to allow circumstances by God's grace to deprive me of thanksgiving. The Lord our God is worth it. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, and I am joined in studio by the director of the AFA Foundation, none other than Miss Riley Wildman. She's been the director for over 10 years. She graduated from Mississippi State University with a bachelor's degree in business. She's married to Will, who's an amazing guy, by the way, who I knew before y'all got married, by the way. You knew that, though.
I knew that.
You know that. They have three children. Riley is here to talk to us about the goings-on in the AFA Foundation. Riley, thank you for coming back onto the program.
Thank you so much, Abe, and thank you again for having me on.
It is my pleasure. Would you just let everyone know what the AFA Foundation is?
Yes. So the AFA Foundation is just here to exist to what we would call leave a legacy to American Family Association, American Family Radio. And it is just a tool here that we have, a part of a mission or a ministry here, a division, I should say, of American Family Association that has been here ever since. So I would say 2010, I would say. The foundation started going strong. It's been in existence prior to 2010, but I would say since 2010, Dan Celia, who's gone along to be with the Lord, and Diane O'Neill, our former director, kind of started it off, started the foundation, started building the building blocks for the foundation. And since Diane has retired, I'm stepping in that role, like you mentioned, as director, and continuing on the legacy that Dan has left behind for us.
Yeah.
The foundation.
Yeah, it's, and many of you may recall our brother Dan Celia passed away not too long ago. He used to host Financial Issues here,
yes,
on American Family Radio for years, and the Lord really gave him a vision for taking his financial acumen. I mean, he was a longtime hedge fund manager on Wall Street, taking his financial acumen to encourage believers to be biblically responsible with their finances. That was his phrase.
Yes.
Biblically responsible with their finances. And in so doing, the Lord gave him this vision to create a vehicle to where listeners and supporters to American Family Radio could invest their funds with AFA while they would get the immediate benefit of having continual fixed revenue.
Correct.
That would derive from one of the instruments, a charitable gift annuity, while at the exact same time they had the wherewithal to leave a legacy, which is, I know we often think about a legacy like, oh, this is the way that someone lived their life, but legacy is actually a legal term for a financial gift to an individual or to an entity upon one's passing. And so one of the instruments that's available, I know,
yes,
is a charitable gift annuity. Would you just,
yes,
share a little bit about that with the audience?
I'll be glad to. So the charitable gift annuity is just like you were saying, Abe, just a minimum amount is $2,000 or anything above that that you can gift to American Family Association, American Family Radio. And in return, the donor would receive income coming back to them for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you can set that up. The charitable gift annuity afternoon is a one life. You can set that up, what I call a single life or a joint life. So you can have up to two people on the charitable gift annuity. Like I said, the minimum amount is $2,000. They will receive a partial tax deduction mm-hmm. the year that they set up the gift mm-hmm. that year. And then they receive income coming back to them for life. They can receive that, Abe. The income monthly, quarterly, annually, semi-annually, every how they would like to receive that for the rest of their life. And when they pass away, anything left over, like you were mentioning, is going back to American Family Association to continue on the Lord's work. So the charitable gift annuity is just one of our great tools, so mm-hmm. to speak, that we have, that we have over several hundreds, actually, people or donors that have funded a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation. And if you don't mind, I'll also talk about other ways that they can give to the ministry, and that is simply through stock, a stock donation. A lot of people don't realize that you can just give an outright gift of stock mm-hmm. and receive a full 100% tax deduction, and all the proceeds go to American Family Association. We send you a letter in the mail to show you, you know, your proof that you did give the full stock to American Family Association, a proof to show that you did receive 100% tax deduction. But also with a stock donation, you can use that for a charitable gift annuity. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that. So they can give a stock donation, fund a charitable gift annuity. Of course, it's not a full 100% tax deduction with that, but it is a partial tax deduction for that. So the charitable gift annuity is our most popular tool we have, stock donation. And a lot of times, people can just leave us in their will. Mm-hmm. They can just give us a call. We can give them our tax ID information, and they can talk with their local attorney in that area and leave American Family Association in their will. So those are two or three different ways.
Yeah, and I mean, I know because I often ended up working with you yes. all in the foundation, reviewing some of these things from time to time. When something may come in, and it's amazing to see that people so committed to the work of the Lord that they even would want to continue to fund that even upon their expiration through a ministry like AFA.
And a lot of times, Abe, you know, we don't even realize they're giving to American Family Association. I'll just come in, like I was saying the other day, I'll just come in on my desk and there'll be somebody that gave a $50,000 check mm-hmm. to American Family Association. We didn't even, you know that they were going to do that once they passed away. So,
you know, whenever I hear that, I'm always, it's so gripping and convicting, because when the Lord provides resources like this, he's not doing it superfluously, you know, and right. people work hard over their lives and to develop their resources. It just shows that there are people that want to see the work of the Lord continue. And it's just sobering for me to be a part of a ministry to where the Lord continues to provide for so miraculously in many Amen. Different ways in that fashion. And so you work firsthand with that in the AFA Foundation. How can people listening get in touch with you? Because I know one thing, with Kamala Harris proposing their 25% tax on unrealized gains.
Will was talking about, my husband was actually talking to me about that last night. He said, Riley?
Yeah.
He was mentioning that to me yesterday.
Yeah, so some people listening might say, well, we'd rather just give stock to AFA. We won't have to worry about unrealized gains, unrealized gains, taxes on capital increasing under whoever going forward. It's one way to address that. But how can people get in touch with you and the foundation and everything they're doing there if they're moved to want to use their resources in such a way to where they can benefit financially themselves, but also they can help support the work here at American Family Radio and American Family Association?
Yes. So there's two or three different ways that they can get in contact with us. The first way is just giving us a call, Abe, at 800-326-4543. Again, that's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or they can visit our website at afafoundation.net. There they can scroll down and check us out. And also there's a Contact Us tab there on our homepage that they can just reach out and talk with Chelsea or I or Jessica, and we'll be glad to help them. And then also if they want to, you know, reach out to us and if they have a complex situation, we'll be glad to set up a conference call with Rob and and myself. And then also we are on LinkedIn now and on Facebook at just afafoundation.net.
Now, when you say Rob, who are you referring to?
Rob West, who is, who's on Faith and Finance now. Yes. I believe he's on from 9 to 10 Central Time here on American Family Radio. So Rob West, who we now work alongside of on Faith and Finance.
Mm-hmm. And so when they call the 800 number, you're not going to be, you know, outsourced to someone on the other side of the ocean and said, welcome to Quickie Mart, just make your order.
No, they will be talking to one of us ladies.
Jeff is embarrassed. What is your problem, Jeff? Do you have a problem with me talking to you like this in the moment? Are you okay? Are you okay? Would you like me to pass you the chai tea? They call the number, who are the people they may get the opportunity to speak to?
Jessica, myself, or Miss Chelsea. And we do all, there's a commercial going around, we all do have Southern accent.
So you're not going to talk like this?
No, I'm not going to talk like that. We're just going to talk nice and calm and have a Southern voice.
Well, thank you for all that you do. Is there anything else you want to make sure everybody's aware of? Because you have great options available for you through the AFA Foundation. And Chelsea and Riley are doing an amazing job there with navigating that department.
Thank you, Abe. And I will like to say this before I forget. It's a new tool that we have out. A lot of people don't realize it's called an IRA to a charitable gift annuity. That's something new. I think it's been over maybe two years or so that you can do that. Walter Billingsley said, hey, let's get in and push that, because a lot of people don't know about that tool. They receive a full 100% tax deduction, I believe, IRA straight over to a charitable gift annuity. You do have to be 70 and a half or older to fund that, and I believe it has to be a one-time gift of $53,000.
Okay.
So that's just something great out there for people. Anybody that's over 70 and a half, if they want to take advantage of that and fund an IRA, your IRA straight over to a charitable gift annuity.
That's a great option that you can take advantage of with no rollover penalties or anything of that nature.
Correct.
If you wanted to do that. That is great information. AFAFoundation.net?
Yes, sir.
Is the website?
Yes, sir. AFAFoundation.net.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Abe.
All righty. Yeah, it's very, 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 very cool options available through the AFA Foundation. The IRA is a new one. That's a new one, relatively new, and that option being available. And then I'm not kidding with the conversations about the 25% tax on unrealized capital gains. we may end up talking a little bit about that. Matter of fact, let's just talk about that now, since I'm already on that point. Some people don't have an idea what that is, what it's talking about. When you have stock or investment of some sort, you have what's called capital gains based on the increase of value of that stock. But what's being proposed initially by Mr. Biden himself and the Harris team is taking upon themselves that they want to increase taxes on unrealized capital gains. And even the people at CNBC, the host of one of their financial shows, Joe Kernan, he just found it to be laughable that this is being proposed. And so Kamala Harris had her economic advisor, Bharat Rama, out to try to sell this increased unrealized capital gains tax, and it didn't go as Mr. Rama, thought it would go. Listen to and watch this clip. It's clip number one?
Six.
Clip number six. Clip six, go.
Well, unrealized gains, taxing unrealized gains just doesn't seem fair in any sense of the word. In the very best sense, if you are taxing unrealized gains, all you're doing is pulling forward the taxes that would be paid later when someone actually sells the stock.
I think that this reaction to unrealized gains is a little funny, given that I bet that the majority of people watching right now are already paying a tax on unrealized gains. It's called a property tax. When the value of your home goes up, when the value of your home goes up, you pay higher taxes, even if you don't sell your home.
Your value of your home never moves the way a stock moves, the way something else moves.
That's always the go-to answer.
It's also, property tax is a use tax. You're paying for school, for the schools. You're paying for emergency services. Those are things that make absolute sense.
And all the revenue that comes in from these unrealized gains taxes and the other taxes in the Harris plan are going to go to what creating what she calls more opportunity. It's to make sure
but
that every newborn born in this country gets
$6,000. Using the services.
Well, look, you're arguing that this is some sort of foreign concept that's completely unknown
well,
in the U.S. tax code.
It's probably unconstitutional. It's probably, and it was never in anyone's intent to tax.
It's not an income tax.
And it's never going to happen, probably. I'm not going to say my life.
I wouldn't say that.
Not in Becky's lifetime.
Yeah. Now, I want to be clear currently that we do not tax unrealized capital gains. We tax realized capital gains, which means that as the value of the stock goes up and you've taken the benefit of that, it becomes income to you, then that is taxed. But if it's not realized, we don't tax that. But what's being proposed by your favorite Marxist sycophants is to tax not just income anymore. Oh, no. We want to tax what is potentially income. And you saw old Bharat Rama there trying to say, most Americans don't realize you're already paying an unrealized capital gains tax when you pay taxes on your property. Which, let's have that conversation about how that is a plank out of the Communist Manifesto itself to turn private property ownership into a system of rents. This is what Karl Marx and Engels included there. How else would you describe your property tax other than the system of rents? But as the CNBC host articulated, you heard there, that at a minimum, a property tax is a use tax, which means what the taxpayer pays, they actually use in many instances. Emergency services, a lot of those taxes go to the local municipality, the sheriff, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I think there's an argument to be made because there are lots of retirees, for example, that don't have children in the school systems, but they're paying for schools. And generally speaking, around the country, you know, property taxes are about 1%. But in other places, in some places like Texas, those taxes are high, no doubt about it. But to try to describe a property tax as an unrealized gain on capital, it's just laughable. Frankly, it's just laughable. And I do agree with Joe Kernan that it's most likely unconstitutional, that the federal government cannot tax non-income. But it just goes to show you, man, and this is one of those examples of Kamala Harris is not going to explain it to you. Oh, no. Let's get the surrogates out there. And they thought that they would find a soft landing because that was at CNBC. But even the folks at CNBC are like, not so much. And let me give you this hypothetical as we head into the break. What if you had a situation where you had tens of thousands of dollars of unrealized capital gains tax at the beginning of the year, but then Wall Street, your stock is shorted, meaning it's sold for a lesser value, the value diminished, and the value of your portfolio a month after the capital gains tax is applied to you. And now you're stuck with thousands of dollars due for capital gains and you're wiped out in your investments. Sounds like a proposition that came straight from the communists. And if it sounds like a communist and it walks like a communist and it quacks like a communist, what would you call it? I know one thing you wouldn't call it. You sure wouldn't call that a duck.
Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 8 direct us to display scripture in our homes and other places. It says you should decorate with the word of God and that you are to fill your hearts and minds with these words. There's no greater cause than for those of us who know Christ to share him and God's word.
Get the full article, God's Word on Display by Joseph Parker on thestand.net and join the movement to put God's word on display at 10laws.us.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III. We're in the final segment already. I mentioned in the very first segment that I would talk a little bit about Mark Zuckerberg's potentially inadvertent admission that a crime was committed. Not that he committed a crime, but that a crime was committed. Now, what am I talking about? Jeff, if you would you put up on the screen Mr. Zuckerberg's letter? Yes, yes, Mr. Zuckerberg's letter. And in the letter, he admits several things. One, that the Harris-Biden administration pressured him through the FBI to utilize his social media platforms. Meta, which is the parent company, if you will, Meta owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. All right? Using his social media companies, WhatsApp is not as much a social media company, even though they're starting to send things through WhatsApp. It's crazy. Been it for a little while. But to pressure COVID-19 information, he admitted that his company succumbed to that pressure. He expressed regret about it. But the third thing that was interesting is that he revealed that the FBI warned him of imminent Russian disinformation in advance of the 2020 presidential election. And he had previously said this in an interview with Joe Rogan on Joe Rogan's podcast. But in the letter, Mark Zuckerberg is more specific than he was with Joe Rogan. And he says that the FBI specifically warned him that Russian disinformation may be coming, and specifically in the form of a news story about Hunter Biden's laptop and Hunter Biden's work with the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. That is quite specific. So the question that should come to the fore is, how would the FBI know this is coming? How did they learn that? Well, we know through other events and connected to the Russian collusion delusion and all this other kind of stuff that the FBI, with the aid of the CIA, that they were doing surveillance on Mr. Trump and his allies, which included Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani, you may recall, is the one who recovered, who was notified by the shop owner, ultimately got a copy of the laptop. And Rudy Giuliani was in conversations with, ultimately, we now know to be Miranda Levine from the New York Post. And they were discussing the fact that the New York Post would break this story. So when the FBI warns Mark Zuckerberg and Meta about Russian disinformation, but specifically coming in the form of a news story about Hunter Biden's laptop and his relationship with the Burisma gas company, the FBI got that information from its surveillance of Rudy Giuliani. Now, there's this pesky little thing, you know, because in the United States of America, we have things called the Bill of Rights and the Fourth Amendment and others, and there's a law called the Wiretap Act. The Wiretap Act prohibits the use of any information collected through surveillance to use that information in anything beyond the scope of the investigation that the wiretap is created for. The Wiretap Act expressly prohibits the FBI and the CIA and others from using surveillance information that they collected for this investigation over here, and now to go over and use it for things like, oh, I don't know, to spread lies about Russian disinformation, to use it for, I don't know, to interfere with the 2020 presidential election. You know, all of these people that say all the time, President Trump spreading his lies about election interference, what else would you describe the largest social media company in the world? Facebook has the most users in the world. And Facebook demoted a news story related to the election specifically because of the FBI's warning. Guys, that's a crime. That is a crime. To use the information you collected from Rudy Giuliani, from surveilling Rudy Giuliani, to literally interfere with the election. I want everybody who said, oh, election interference is just a conspiracy theory, explain to me how demoting the New York Post story would have no impact. When you consider how ubiquitous Facebook usage is amongst American citizens. And oh, by the way, when I say that the FBI was spreading lies about Russian disinformation, because they knew before we knew that the laptop story was real. And you want to know how we know? One of the ways we know? Remember this dude, Gary Shapley? Remember him? Jeff, you remember him? The IRS whistleblower? And he submitted his timeline of events for congressional testimony. I'm going to pull it up right here. Because the FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop 11 months prior to Mark Zuckerberg being contacted. They had the laptop for 11 months. In November of 2019, long before Mark Zuckerberg was ever contacted by the FBI, in November 2019, the FBI had already concluded that Hunter Biden's laptop was registered to his Apple iCloud account. We know this because Exhibit 6, which I'm holding for you right here, Exhibit 6 in Gary Shapley's testimony timeline communicates that. Exhibit 6, entry 12. The FBI determined that the device was registered to Sportsman via Apple ID account, iCloud account, verification of device. They knew that in November of 2019. Exhibit 6 goes on. Paragraph 43. Has any information been added to the laptop? Is anything brought on it that didn't originate? Anything been added to the laptop that didn't originate from the laptop owner and user? The FBI concluded in 2019. They can do a CSV list that shows when everything was created. The laptop was returned to original. We have no reason to believe that there is anything fabricated nefariously on the computer or hard drive. There are emails and other items that corroborate the items on the laptop and hard drive. That's in November of 2019. Not 2020, 2019. The FBI had Hunter Biden's laptop for 11 months before they were warning Mark Zuckerberg. So you know what that means, guys? That when the FBI warns Mark Zuckerberg that this is Russian disinformation, and when you have all of these intelligence community personnel that come to try to dispute the New York Post story and say, oh, it has all the markings of Russian disinformation, not only were they lying, they knew they were lying. They knew it, and they did it anyway. Somebody's supposed to go to jail for this. This is not just, you know, election 2020, whatever. Somebody's supposed to go to jail for this. And I asked the questions I asked again. Mark Zuckerberg, why did you sit on this for all this time, bro? Why did you sit on this for all this time? Now you come out and tell us. But in telling us, do you realize that you're revealing that the FBI and the CIA are more than likely complicit in a federal felony criminal offense? Violation of the Wiretap Act? They're warning you about something being Russian disinformation that the FBI institutionally has known for 11 months is correct, is not disinformation, because they verified the legitimacy of the laptop in November, as at least by November of 2019. And this is why I started the program like I started it, with the need to rejoice and have Thanksgiving. But when you have stuff like this, it reveals just how corrupt things have become in our country. We look at these nations, these foreign nations, we call them banana republics, we call them third world countries, and the same things are happening in our own country right before our very eyes. Right before our very eyes. Do you remember all the things that happened downstream from the events of 2020? Do you remember what happened downstream from Shmova 19, mail-in ballots, basement Biden campaign, Russian disinformation, Russian collusion? They mocked Trump when he said, my wires have been tapped. They mocked him. And we learned, oh, snap, they were spying on him. They were. We learned they knew that the Russian collusion allegation, they knew it was a lie from the beginning. But then when a perpetrator fraud on the American people spend $30, $50 million, our nation has been corrupted, man. It's been corrupted. And it is troublesome to learn just how extensively. How does that make you feel knowing The FBI rose up on Mark Zuckerberg. I said, hey, you need to be wary. There's a specific thing that's coming. And they know it's coming because they've been surveilling Rudy Giuliani. And if you remember what all transpired, Rudy Giuliani, well, let's go a few steps back. Hunter Biden brings a laptop to the maintenance place in Delaware, right? Remember that? When the maintenance man realizes what's on it, and remember what's on the laptop? The financial arrangements with the big guy, making sure he gets a percentage of the money from the Chinese company. You remember the conversations about Ukraine and how Biden bragged how he got the attorney general in Ukraine fired because he held a $1 billion loan guarantee over his head. If you don't fire this prosecutor, you don't get the billion. Biden bragged about that. We end up later learning, well, what was the prosecutor investigating? The prosecutor was actually investigating Burisma that his son worked for. The same Burisma that is paying him millions of dollars, though he has zero experience or expertise in oil and gas. Zero. Why is he on the board? Access. All of that's on the laptop. The laptop technician contacts Rudy Giuliani. The laptop technician makes a copy of the hard drive. Delivers the laptop to the FBI. And the same FBI that has the laptop and has already verified that it's legit is sitting in evidence in FBI possession. This is the same FBI that goes, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, by the way, you need to be on the lookout for this Russian disinformation. And it's going to look like, you know, a news story is going to come out that implicates, you know, the son of the Democrat nominee for the presidency and his connection to the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. And this is happening at the exact same time. And we know this thanks to Elon Musk sharing the Twitter files that they did the same thing to Twitter before Elon Musk bought it. And y'all want to say that that's not election interference? And then have the audacity to say, you know what? We're going to prosecute President Trump for election interference. For lying about the election, I'm sorry. Boy, this is wicked on a whole nother level. This is wicked, man. This is wicked. And they knew it all along. And this is the rub that's even worse. Are they going to get away with that? Are they going to get away with that? Mark Zuckerberg's letter should prompt the Department of Justice right now, to go and talk to Mark Zuckerberg. Who was it that came to you? Who are the people that have the FBI that warned you of this Russian disinformation? It ain't that hard, Chief. You already submitted in a documented letter under oath to the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee. Who are the people that pressured Meta personnel, that pressured you, that pressured Meta staff and warned of the Russian disinformation? Because these people are the ones who have violated the Wiretap Act. And because we are invested in the neutral administration of federal law, because we have taken an oath to protect and to defend the U.S. Constitution, because we are equal opportunity truth tellers, and everyone will be held accountable, we need to know who it was that violated the Wiretap Act. Because they are not representative of the standard of professionalism that we have at the FBI and the CIA, or is it that the FBI and the CIA at the upper echelons are complicit in the violation of the Wiretap Act? I'm sorry to end your evening like this, but I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. And many of us intuitively knew things like this were happening, and you may not have been able to explain it. You may not have been able to put the exhibits together, but now the picture comes in full view with Gary Shapley's testimony, other federal whistleblowers, with the laptop itself, the news reporting by Miranda Devine at the New York Post, Hunter Biden bragging on getting paid. Why did they hire you? I don't know, probably because of my connection to my dad. Dude said that on national television. Yeah, we're conspiracy theorists, right? It stinks, man. It stinks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.